fighting for America.
As your commander-in-chief, I will not commit you and the rest of our armed forces to fighting another ground war in Iraq. They can secure their own country's futures.
Fighting for Idaho.
I think these guys got to realize that they're role models and they can't be doing things like what they're doing today. They need to recognize that, hey, look, if I do something like that, I'm going to get suspended or banned from the league.
Fighting for you.
Congratulations for the Marconi Award. Did you have to speak Italian to receive that?
Yes, I like these very much.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the Morning.
I'm so proud of you.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It is 605. Thank you for joining us. We're joined now by our great friend, Nagmaid Abedini. Nagmaid, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, I wish we were talking under better circumstances. Can you give us an update of the latest with your husband, Pastor Saeed, ma'am?
Well, in a few days, on September 26th, will be 2 years since he's been in prison in Iran, and he's not doing so well. His mom got to visit him last Wednesday, and they have a 20-minute visitation, and he made it halfway through. He had some pain and issues in his stomach and couldn't do the whole visit, which is rare. He usually tries to do the 20-minute, and so it's been hard, that knowing that he continues to spend years, you know, the years are going by with him in prison, and he's still not out yet.
Still not out yet, and you want to call attention to this coming up mm-hmm. this week.
Yes, over around 500 cities have joined, and I think over 30 countries, and we'll be doing a prayer vigil across the globe, almost 500 cities just in the U.S., and I'll be doing one. There'll be one in Boise in front of the state capitol at 6 p.m. on September 26th. And then the kids and I will be at the one in D.C. with Reverend Franklin Graham right at the White House. So I do hope that to bring more attention and pressure. And then, of course, a couple days after that, I'll be speaking at the Value Voter Summit in D.C. and with Mike Huckabee and Glenn Beck and a whole lot of Sarah Palin, a lot of other people that will be speaking at that summit as well. My hope is to continue to put pressure both on our government and on the Iranian government to do something and release him.
Nagmaid, what goes on in your mind? Obviously, you've been very busy. You continue to be busy, and somewhere your husband would like to come home.
Yes, I hope it's soon. You know, the UN just released a report. The working group said that, you know, Saeed's being held unjustly, and Iran's breaking a whole lot of laws by keeping him there, their own laws and also international laws. And they suggested that their remedy was for Iran to release Saeed immediately and to compensate him for the time she spent illegally in that prison. So it's encouraging that other countries are, you know, around the globe are speaking out and saying this is not right. I hope that Iranian government is in the U.S. today, should be arriving, if he hasn't arrived yet, in New York. And I hope that our government takes every opportunity to not just talk about Saeed, but demand his release, immediate release. We've released $7 billion, I think, and I think Iran just needs to release Saeed, whom they've held illegally for over 2 years.
Nagmaid, do you ever get philosophical about this, how God has chosen Saeed for this mission and how he's chosen you to be the face and the voice of persecuted Christians around the world?
That's the only reason I can continue, honestly, is that God is in this and he's using this for a bigger purpose. I've spoken to government officials across the world and ambassadors and the United Nations and, you know, so on and so on, our own Congress and parliaments in Europe and so on. And So it's, I can see God's hand. I can see God is using this, you know, horrible situation in our life. And I can see that Saeed is also giving hope to those around him in prison. And, you know, he's leading people to Christ. He's sharing hope with those who are hopeless. And I see a purpose in that. So that's the only thing that makes it easier, especially with being a single mom with two kids who are constantly missing their dad, and as anyone could imagine.
Nagmaid, when you take a look at other Christians around the world that we've talked about before here at 580KIDO and all these other programs that you do, what do you think is going on with the open season on Christians?
Yes, it is. It is open season on Christians. It's at its highest. Beheadings and killings all over the world, especially the Middle East, where Christianity was founded, the Christians are being destroyed. And they either have to move out or they're killed. And we're seeing in Africa, we're seeing all over the world. As a Christian, we're told as the time nears the end, there'll be more persecutions. But there's been more persecutions in the last 100 years, and it's ramping up than there has been in the last 2,000 years. And it's amazing how many Christians, over 100,000, are killed and persecuted every year.
Nagmaid Abedini with us, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO, talking about the big prayer rally coming up for her husband, imprisoned pastor Saeed, coming up September 26th around the world and at the state capitol here in Idaho. When we take a look at you, and a lot of people have watched you on local TV, national TV, and on this radio station, but what is it like for you? What will it be like after this interview for you? What goes on in your mind? Because everybody sees you and goes, oh, you're so brave, and we remember we saw you at God and Country, but then you go back to being a private citizen, Nagmaid, for a while. What is that like, the, you know, getting the message out and then waiting for your husband to come home?
Our interview, I become a mom, and the normal routines of getting the kids ready for school and doing the school stuff and parent night and so on. And just trying, you know, looking, really taking it day at a time, doing what I need to do. And as a mom, and it's emotional. I try really hard to have a strong front. Yeah, there's been a few instances where I've broken up in front of media, but in front of the kids, in front of the world, I try to be strong, but I have very emotional days, especially, again, as a mom. It's hard to see my kids suffering. It's hard to imagine Saeed suffering another day in that prison, and no one, you know, there doesn't seem to be much happening with his release, and that's frustrating. I hope Saeed knows that I will not stop. I will continue until he's home. But it's been wearing down on me, definitely. It's been hard. I've traveled. In September, I would have traveled at least 5-6 times just in 1 month. And it's hard, but I can't imagine not doing it while Saeed sits in that prison.
Is it possible for you to have parent night? I mean, without the subject of your husband and what you're doing come up?
You know, it does come up. No, it's not possible. Parents ask teachers, you know, continue to say, oh, you know, how's he doing? We're praying, which is okay. I mean, I it's good to know people are remembering Saeed, but it's just, it's hard. It gets harder that he's still not out yet. And honestly, it's frustrating that we're friends with Iran. We're talking about different issues, and we're getting friendly with Iran. We're not friends with Iran, but we're helping them with sanctions and so on, and they're holding. I mean, I wonder if President Obama's wife or kids were being held by the Iranian government, if we'd be doing the same thing, if we'd be shaking hands and making deals and releasing billions without any mention or any demand for their release. I do think if there was someone who honestly wants Saeed out now, there could be a phone call that could get him home. I don't think our government's really pursuing that. I've actually heard it through the grapevine. They're not really pursuing that and are, you know, telling others to back off because the nuclear talk is more important for them. So I do feel that Saeed's abandoned and our family. And so that's why I'm one of the reasons I'm doing the prayer vigil is ultimately God's in control and can twist arms of our government and the Iranian government. Both don't seem to be really motivated to release Saeed.
That's where the power of prayer comes in?
Yes, that's why I think no matter what's going on with the politics, with our government, with the Iranian government, ultimately God is in control. And so when we get together, we've seen the Bible and the Book of Acts, people, the believers got together and prayed, and Peter was released miraculously. And so, you know, ultimately that's what I'm relying on. I can't. My hope is in God, and that's why it's so important for people to come and join us on this day of prayer on First Sight and the persecuted Christians. That's where the power comes from. Governments might not be motivated to do much, but with prayer, things change.
580KIDO, our great friend Nagmeh Abedini with us here. Kevin Miller in the morning detailing how you can help her with this prayer vigil, how you can help Saeed. Nagmeh, this ISIS group, the last time we talked, Saeed was very concerned about them because they are in the prison. When you hear about ISIS, what goes on in your mind?
They're still in the prison. They do not like Saeed. That's why I think it's just even that more urgent for our government to get Saeed out and not just make statements. They're still in that prison. They don't like Saeed because he's a convert and he's an American, and they don't really care if they do something to him and something happens to them. So Saeed's really under a lot of pressure in that prison because of their presence, and it has limited his activities. Even in his own cell, they've showed up a few times, and it's made it even more tense. And that's why it's, you know, that's why it's even more urgent to get Saeed out. And ISIS, I can't even describe my feelings. It's evil, pure evil, what they're doing. And can't imagine this day and age, such people exist with such evil intent and I can't, you know, they're horrific massacres and murders. And I'm surprised the whole world's not crashing on them. And, you know, I'm really surprised that, you know, I mean, to give, you know, some kind of benefit for our government, we've done something, but just to see the whole world, you know, not doing anything, not doing much, it's a few, you know, tens of thousands of militants, but I think if the world united, we could, you know, get rid of them. But, you know, I think it's complicated because they call themselves an Islamic State, and I think that's what makes it complicated, because it could touch nerve with a lot of Muslims, and it could become a bigger deal if it's not handled properly. And I think that's why a lot of countries say this is not Islamic. They're trying to disassociate the Muslim world from them so that people stop joining them. And I think that's the sensitive part, is it could bring a lot of Muslims. Over a billion people are, you know, there's over a billion Muslims. It could bring a lot of supporters if it's not handled properly.
Nagmeh, please stand by. More coming up with our great friend Nagmeh Abedini. We urge you to keep her and her family and Pastor Saeed in your prayers. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely enough.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Nagmeh Abedini with us. And let's go to the phones. Our friend Gene and Cuna would like to speak to Nagmeh. Gene, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Mrs. Abedini. Kevin, I don't know how many times to tell you, brother, I love you for what you do, and congratulations on the award. You deserve it, my friend. Mrs. Abedini, I had something I wanted to share with you really quick. I don't want to tie up a lot of time, but I feel the Father was telling me something the other day when I was in my prayer time, because as being a Jewish man, I pray in Hebrew and in English both. And I have prayed for Pastor Saeed many times that anybody that touches him in an inappropriate manner, harms him in any way, the judgment would befall those that do this sevenfold. And I know that probably sounds a little harsh, but these people don't care what they do to us. And even though our Messiah, Yeshua, or Jesus, suffered more than any man could ever possibly suffer, Pastor Saeed doesn't need to. But on the other side of that, the Father has him there for a reason. He has him there to speak out about the atrocities that the Prophet Muhammad has handed down to the Muslim people, if you will. But on the other side of that, there's more Muslims today coming to Messiah, Yeshua, or Jesus than there ever has been. And I do feel very strongly about this, and I'm not a prophet. Please don't take me like that. But I do feel, I was told that your husband will be released soon. He will be healthy, but he could be a lot healthier. But he will be healthy, and he will be coming home to you soon. But the thing is, I need to know. Please tell Kevin when this happens, because the minute I've told this, I'll forget about it. And it's just because it's not me, it's all him, every bit of it. But bless you, ma'am, and I'm going to keep praying for you and keep praying for Saeed and your children. And I go into my prayer closet every night. I wear a tallit. Last Saturday, I blew the shofar 7 times for your husband. And on the 8th blast of the shofar, I believe that that's when the Father told me that your husband will be coming home to you soon. Just keep the faith, keep hope, and, you know, you'll be in my prayers day and night until he comes home.
Thank you. We appreciate your prayers. Thank you so much.
I just wish I had the strength that you have. I really do. But
Thank you,
my friend, Mrs. Abedini, I'll be praying for you and Pastor Saeed constantly.
Gene,
Kevin,
thank you.
My friend,
yes, sir.
It's been a pleasure.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless our great friend, Gene and Cuna. Nagmaid, what goes on in your mind when you hear Gene say that? And, you know, you're very close with the Graham family, certainly America. And folks all over the world have embraced, rightfully so, the quest to get your husband released.
It's encouraging that people are remembering Saeed in prayer and in their special closet moments and prayer times. That really means a lot to me. That's what's giving me a lot of strength. I think anyone going through suffering would say it's easier when you know there's people who are standing with you during the suffering time of hardship. So this definitely makes a big difference in my life and in being able to continue. And I do hope it's soon. I do hope his release is soon.
And for the people listening here at 580KIDO, what can they do this week to support you and to support your husband, Pastor Saeed?
You know, show up at the prayer vigil on Friday evening. We made it in the evening so that people could come after work. It's at 6. There'll be candles as it gets darker. We'll be lighting candles. And just show up and let our government know this is an important issue. And there's definitely, there'll be a lot of coverage. And so people will, you know, Boise is where we're from. So there's a lot of attention of what's happening here and the support. And so I just encourage you to come out and pray and show your support.
Well, there are a lot of people that are encouraged by you and Pastor Saeed. When you travel, please have safe travels. And, you know, if there's anything else we can do, please let us know, ma'am.
Thank you. You've been a great support, Kevin. I appreciate what you're doing and your friendship. Thank you. I will be traveling to D.C., so thank you for the safe travels and your prayers.
You're racking up a lot of miles.
I am.
One day we're going to have to do a show with you where you just give us your critiques on the airlines. Now that would be something I look forward to.
Exactly. thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
There you have it, Nagmaid Abedini. And boy, you talk about the road that she's traveled around the country and around the world. And as we start our day here at 580KIDO, it would be responsible if the national media would pick up this story. And you have to wonder to yourselves, you know, as we start our day, this is a story that's non-political. Has the Iranian government infiltrated themselves into our mainstream media so much that CBS, ABC, NBC has not picked up this story? And you've had our congressional delegation, Jim Risch, Mike Crapo, Mike Simpson, Congressman Labrador, make the case to the president, to the State Department. Senator Risch, very vocal about it here at 580KIDO and throughout the world. You've had Fox News pick this up, but why in the world have we not picked this up on the major networks? Here we have year two of this. Year two of this. Is there some pressure from our governments to give the Iranians a pass? It's very troubling. And you hear that you have this young woman, right now, a single mom, she doesn't want to be, making sure that her kids are taken care of while going to this prayer vigil with the Grahams. You have Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, others doing whatever they can to support her, and yet no coverage from the major networks. I'd like to know why, wouldn't you? Please keep the Abedini family in your prayers. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
And Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Now, I was watching Meet the Press the other day, and Chuck Todd was talking to some of the senators, and he said, hey, a lot of people want to get rid of the tax-exempt status of the NFL. Well, if you're going to do that, why don't you do it for oil companies? Why don't you do it for everybody else? Well, the NFL, there are three bills now in the Senate seeking to get rid of the tax-exempt status of the NFL. And I got to tell you, I liked how one of the senators responded, basically saying, with ISIS, the Ukraine, and everything else going on, we've got more important things to worry about than football. Joining us now with the latest on Congress and whether or not Congress still matters when it comes to funding and going to war and everything else, the ubiquitous Rachel Sutherland from Fox News Radio at 580KIDO. Good morning, ma'am.
Hey, good morning.
Good to have you here. Certainly a lot going on, a lot of fireworks on Capitol Hill pertaining to ISIS and what to do about it and what the money is to go for.
Well, there are. I mean, Congress did manage to bring themselves to get together, to come together and pass legislation to arm the Syrian rebels, the Free Syrian Army that's been trying to topple President Bashar al-Assad for some time now. As you know, in 2012, there was an opportunity for us to kind of go in there and possibly arm the rebels at that point and go ahead and take out Assad. We chose not to. Interestingly, we have a former Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, on CBS News, actually 60 Minutes, saying that he supported arming the Syrian rebels in 2012, thinks that we should have, and he thinks that would have helped us in this situation now.
Rachel Sutherland, Kevin Miller here at Fox News Radio at 580KIDO. It's interesting that Panetta would make those comments public on 60 Minutes last night.
You know, it is, Kevin, that he would do that. He must feel, I guess, fairly strongly about this. Of course, he also has a new book out, but right. But he does say that not arming the rebels at that time gave ISIS a chance to flurry and all that, and to flourish, I should say, and all that chaos there. And others feel the same way. At the same time, I remember the discussion a couple of years ago, and it seemed like most people who were keeping an eye on Syria seemed to agree that it was not a good idea to arm the Syrian rebels at that time because we didn't know exactly who was who. And they were making a good point. ISIS was in the middle of all that. There are people now who are concerned about arming these rebels because they're concerned that the arms that we give them will still fall in the hands of ISIS. ISIS is still there in Syria. You have hundreds of tens of thousands of refugees crossing the border with Turkey and Syria into Turkey. So now the Turks are dealing with that. Really just a mess there.
It's very confusing, and I don't know how those folks on Capitol Hill are trying to figure it out, because one of the issues last year, Rachel, is they were talking about, and look, John McCain was over there with the Syrian rebels. I don't know if that's going to come back to bite him, but supposedly the good rebels have worked with ISIS in the past. We don't know if we would be funding our own enemy by giving the weapons, because the good rebels might switch teams and go to ISIS, but then come back. It's all so confusing.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that we know exactly who everybody is and all their intentions are. I mean, we'd like to believe that. But as you say, who are the good guys and who are the bad guys in this, Kevin? It's really just not obvious. But it is the plan going forward that we're going to arm these rebels and let them be the boots on the ground. And some on Capitol Hill are concerned about mission creep and that it'll start out that way, but it can't stay that way, and that there will ultimately be American boots on the ground, which is something the Obama administration is still taking a hard stance on, saying that won't happen.
Rachel, what was the reaction last week on Capitol Hill where you had, the head general there saying, you know, we might have to reconsider and put boots on the ground, and yet simultaneously the president was giving, I believe, 5 speeches over 2 yeah. days saying no boots on the ground ever.
Right, I know. Isn't that odd? It's kind of interesting watching that. The reaction is mixed, and it doesn't even fall on party lines. There are some in the Democrat side who are also concerned about this idea of putting boots on the ground. But then there are folks, you think about Republican Senator John McCain, who would want a Republican, of course, Arizona, saying that he thinks we ought to do more, that it just will not work without American boots on the ground. And I think that time will just tell. It'll be the test of time to see what actually happens here. In the meantime, the United States is trying to drum up support among these Middle Eastern nations and others to get them on board with the plan. Now, our U.N. ambassador, Samantha Powers, though, would not reveal who's on board. She said there's at least 20 nations, but as far as exactly who they are and what their involvement will be remains kind of secret right now.
Or are they willing to fight? Now, whether it's Samantha Powers or the president or whoever else, Rachel, you mentioned this, the concern over mission creep. Many people believe that this will be Vietnam all over again. We're bringing in advisors. Then the talking heads are saying, we already have boots on the ground. Well, and when they get fired upon, they'll fire back. And, you know, again, the concern over mission creep. Is there anything that the folks on Capitol Hill can do to prevent that?
Well, they can, when it comes time again to fund this operation again. See, what they passed is really just a temporary spending bill. And so there'll be more discussion about this, and they will have to revisit this issue. So I guess there's something that can be done. But as long as the president is not trying to declare war legally, he doesn't need Congress's approval on what to do. And you mentioned Vietnam. In some ways, some might say this is even more dangerous and more complicated than Vietnam, because in that case, you knew more of who your enemy is. We know who ISIS is, but we don't know exactly where they are, which countries they're in. It's more than one country involved. It is deeply complicated.
Well, that's the thing that I don't get, because, you know, and we live in such a saturated media society, both online and broadcast and print to some extent. But, okay, from what I understand, Al-Qaeda is still the threat. ISIS is the bad guys. Now there's another group that's even worse than ISIS, but we don't know about them. They could be coming to America soon. You know, it's almost like we're without a rudder here when it comes to the foreign policy. And, you know, the reaction on Capitol Hill to that are you know, whether it's the Armed Services Committee or John McCain.
Right, and it, there is this concern, because it does seem like this war that just never ends. I mean, see, it feels like as Americans that we've been at war since September 11, 2001. That's how it feels to a lot of us. You know, the actual legalities of that may be different, but the war on terror certainly is something that, you know, we never encountered before. It's hard to do something when you don't really have a playbook for this. So there's no guidebook on this, because it's something that United States is new, something we have to deal with. And we're all hopeful that we will, you know, be victorious as usual. But there is a deep concern about this operation, and certainly not everybody on Capitol Hill is completely on board. However, you know, can you imagine, Kevin, if they had left to go hit the campaign trail without doing anything? That was not going to happen.
Well, and the enemy understands that they can go on for years, hundreds or thousands of years, and they have no issue with that. Rachel, final thought here. Where's the money coming from? Because we still haven't paid off the last couple wars.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I do know that a lot of this money that was being spent thus far was coming from a contingency fund that was already in place. So the Pentagon was saying that we're spending about $7.5 million a day on fighting ISIS, and that was about a month ago. So it was upwards of $60 million. That's all been paid for. Again, when they this is a short-term spending bill. When they will be discussing it again, and certainly there'll be a lot of talk about this. But in a time when you have sequestration and you have cuts, it's kind of hard to wage war at the same time.
And here's the other one: is the point you brought up, Rachel, when you have Samantha Powers not revealing the vast coalition, and the president's going to make a speech before the UN, and this is the first time the head of state has done this, but we still don't know who our partners are or their commitment. If you're a congressman or a senator, heck, if you're somebody in Idaho, you're going, what?
Right, and we don't know. And I guess one might argue that you don't want to tip off ISIS to all these partners and what their involvement will be. I guess that's one argument. But it does make people sort of scratch their heads a little bit and wonder, you know, why we don't know. We do know that France has been involved. That much we do know. But beyond that, it's just is kind of fuzzy.
Well, yes, and another message from ISIS, which we'll talk about another time. Rachel, thank you.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
All right, our great friend Rachel Sutherland joining us from Fox News Radio exclusively here at 580KIDO. And Rachel, along with Jeff Manasso, who will join us later, just a part of our continuing commitment to give you the best coverage of issues that impact your life. We go live to them every morning. We get the information, and then we discuss it. But coming up at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, your thoughts on ISIS. There's a new statement out by them. Never before have we seen such an arrogant lot that is so violent, so ridiculous when it comes to following the rules of law. You know, how big a threat is it? And here's the question that I have for you. And I know you're going, Kevin, you're rolling, you're rambling here. If ISIS is such a big threat, where's the coalition? They live in that neighborhood. Shouldn't they be at the forefront? Think about that. 6:49, let's get you to traffic at 10:58.
Investigators believe the couple was married. They say it looks like the man shot his wife with a handgun before turning the gun on himself.
We don't know why things happen like this.
Kiana fire officials say a 54-year-old man was walking along an overlooked ledge at Dedication Point when he tripped and fell about 60 feet on Saturday night.
Just another manic Monday.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, you hear stories of that and you think, thank God these things don't happen to my family. Abuse, neglect, domestic violence, child abuse. As the NFL and other major sports leagues try to cope with it, how do we deal with it here in the Treasure Valley? Well, we're going to do our very best to raise some awareness. We invite you to join us this Thursday at the Foothills Christian Church at 7 o'clock for an emotional night as we ask you to come out to rally against domestic violence and child abuse. You heard that story of the murder-suicide. Violence seems to be creeping up here in the Treasure Valley. Stabbing at the Franklin Garrity Walmart, a place where we've held our Miller's Mission, and we'll be looking to do that again. We've got to take care of each other. We've got to take care of each other, and we should do that with the utmost concern, compassion, and prayer. And I do want to thank the folks at Foothills Christian Church for allowing us to be there, our friends at the Boise Rescue Mission for helping us put together this program. And, you know, it's very easy, well, maybe it's not so easy, to talk a little bit about guns and Obama and everything else. This is a very different forum, a forum that hasn't been done that I believe in talk radio. But it's what we do. And if it's an intimate setting, so be it. We don't judge it on the amount of people showing up. We judge it on the character of those individuals. If you have been a victim of abuse, if you know someone who has been abused, or if you suspect it, invite them to join us this Thursday at 7 o'clock. We cannot stand idly by while little babies are being bludgeoned to death. What was it last week? We had an Air Force airman from Mountain Home being sentenced. And what did he say? You know, they're always repentant, aren't they? I'm so sorry. I didn't know what was coming over me, whether it was drugs, whether it was stupidity. You don't hit kids. You don't hit your spouse. And spouses, you don't stay with those folks. You get out. You get away. You move on. And there are wonderful people here in the Treasure Valley that will help you. Our great friend Gene Lockhart will join us next hour. You've got the Boise Rescue Mission. You've got the WCA. You've got others that will empower you. I know what you're thinking. I have no money. I have no skills. Who's going to take care of my kids? Winter's coming. These folks will help you, and their success stories will be some of the facets that we will share with you. These stories, again, aren't national issues. They're issues that happen each and every day in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and it has to stop. So we will do our very best to raise awareness, to rally this community, that enough is enough. 6:58, Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to traffic. Good morning, Dave. 6:59, oh, coming up next, news about your money, Dave Pezzo. And we're going to talk a little bit about ISIS, who's funding ISIS, and the ability of, let's say, the state of Idaho, if we wanted to opt out of the federal government like Scotland almost did. Could we financially pull that off, considering that the feds pay, what, 30%, almost 40% of our operating budget? Keep it here. Stay informed. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Serving Emmett.